Good morning. We're going to start things a little early today. We've got a lot of announcements. So first of all, welcome. The sanctuary's full. Great to see you this beautiful Sunday morning in February. If you're listening on the radio, we welcome you. And especially if you're at home taking this online, welcome to you to this service. And just a special announcement for you who are taking it in online. You should see my email address pop up here sometime, but I'd love to hear from you. You're a part of this thing every Sunday, and so if you have a question about the church or you just want to say hello, I won't name you by name in announcements or anything, but I'd love to hear from you. You're a part of the congregation. You know, we have up to 30 people watch every Sunday, and so I'd just love to connect with you in some way. So, all right, just a few announcements before we get started. Today, we're going to party a little bit. We don't need much of an excuse to party around here, but we've got a big excuse today, and that's Mr. Ole Nelson. And let's just give him a round of applause. Uh, 80 trips around the sun. Not bad. All right. And so we're excited. Happy birthday, Ole. We're really happy for you. Yes. Okay. Okay, we'll end. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Ole. Happy birthday to you. And many more. There we go. All right. He's taking it all in stride. All right. So there'll be more opportunities. You can try to embarrass him. I don't know if it's possible. He takes things pretty much in stride. So, but we're looking forward to having some birthday cake and celebrating you today, Ole. So happy birthday. So Wednesday, 8 a.m., Bible study with yours truly. We're working our way through the book of Isaiah. We take a 15-minute break and then have a prayer group meeting. So if you see a prayer request card in the pew, feel free to fill that out and put it in the collection plate. It will be prayed for. Wednesday, we're continuing on with our soup, sandwich, and the word. So soup and sandwiches served from 5:30 to 6:30 p.m., followed by music and a devotional in the sanctuary for about a half an hour. You come here to eat, we'll have you out of here by 7. So it's a great time. And who's serving this week? Oh, the altar committee. So is that the baked potato thing again? Oh, wow. Got another birthday coming up. So pie. Pie for Dave Ripley. All right. So we'll be singing happy birthday to you Wednesday then. Oh, he'll love that. He loves being the center of attention. So not really, but okay. So all right, that's happening Wednesday. And then also we're starting our First Communion class this Wednesday, age-appropriate classes for 5th and 6th graders. We'll meet Wednesdays, February 28th, March 6th, 13th, and then make our communion banners on the 20th. And then First Communion is served on Good Friday. So I'm looking forward to that. Also on Wednesday, the youth group participates in Soup, Sandwich, and the Word. So be here at 5:30 to bus tables and whatnot. And then you'll continue on with your meeting after the Lenten service is over. And then 7 o'clock, Grace Choir will meet in the chapel room for practice. We're gearing up for Good Friday and Easter. And then Friday evening to Sunday morning is the Inspiration Point Confirmation Retreat. Dacia, our Minister of Youth, will be leading the charge on that. Dacia, any last-minute details you need to fill people in on? Okay. Packing list will be forthcoming if your kiddo is doing the confirmation retreat. And then most importantly, we're going to leave here at 5 o'clock on Friday for Inspiration Point. And then you'll grab a bite to eat on the way because they're not serving an evening meal out there.
And if you haven't signed up for confirmation retreat,
Okay, deadline's tomorrow. If you have all of a sudden decide you want to do this, and it's a lot of fun, contact Dacia and we'll get you in. But it's tomorrow. So, all right. The Grace Council is looking to hire a 10-hour-per-week church custodian. Okay. Susan has retired, and Debbie Bergeron has been helping out, but many thanks to both of you for all the time you've put in. Now, in the interim, and it may take a while to find another church custodian, we've developed a list of volunteer things. It's on the sign-up table in the church fellowship hall. We've broken it up into different things, so if you just want to serve and do a little vacuuming or clean a restroom, you can do that and then just write the date on there. And there's already been some action. There's been, the concrete's been blown off out front, and the entryway's been vacuumed, and things like that. So we're just going to give it a try, and if you like to serve in that physical way, here's your opportunity. So may not be everybody's cup of tea, but I kind of enjoy taking a little study break once in a while and doing things. So there you have it. So also, the Grace Church Council has extended a call to Tiffany Nelson to serve as the church secretary. Many thanks to Mary Ferguson, who's been our interim secretary these past months, and will be acclimating Tiffany to that. So she'll be training Tiffany in on some of the stuff. So Mary's not leaving just yet, but I think just a round of applause for Mary would be appropriate. So, and there's Tiffany. We're excited to have you in. So that's very awesome. So, yeah. All right. Our February mission of the month is the Pelican Rapids Food Shelf. And one of the past missions that we did was Habitat for Humanity. And many of you participated in that. And there's a poster on the bulletin board out front. But there's a February 22nd from 3:30 to 5 p.m. There's an open house for the house that was built. And then at 5 p.m., there's going to be a dedication of the home for the Ward family. So the address will be on the bulletin board. I won't read it to you now. You'll never remember it. But so if you want to be a part of this thing, and many of you did go and serve, that was called Faith Bill. Many churches participate in it. So that's February 22nd. All the information's on the bulletin board out there. But if you want to be a part of the dedication ceremony or witness it, and then the open house is going to be pretty awesome, too, to walk through the thing and see it will be great. So that opportunity is there also this week. Didn't make the bulletin. And then, let's see, where are we? Next Sunday, we have our regular schedule, food and fellowship at 11, of course, worship at 10. So no confirmation because of the confirmation retreat. And then some thank yous go out. Thanks to all who brought food and served for last Sunday's potluck fellowship meal to welcome our new neighbors from Ukraine. And many thanks to Susan Hafner and Debbie Bergen for their custodial care of our church. And then also thanks to the Grace Council for providing us with a great Lenten meal on Wednesday. And I want to say thank you to all of those who stepped up to serve on either a board or the council. And if you've just stepped into that as a new position, whether it be a board or the council, I'm going to ask you to stand up, and we're going to just have a word of prayer for you. So stand up if you're new to a board or the council. Okay, we got one. All right, and this is a new council member, too, so if you have any complaints about anything, don't come to me. No, I'm just kidding. Okay, well, we are so thankful for you and your willingness to serve on the council. And so in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, amen. Let us hear what Scripture says about ministry in the church. This is from Luke 22. Jesus said to them, "The kings of the Gentiles lord it over them, and those who exercise authority over them call themselves benefactors, but you are not like that. Instead, the greatest among you should be like the youngest, and the one who rules like the one who serves. For who is greater, the one who is at the table or the one who serves? It is not the one who is at the table, but I am among you as one who serves. And so the Apostle Paul reminds us in 1 Corinthians 12 that there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God who works all things in all. So you have been elected by this congregation to a responsible position of leadership in recognition of the gift God has given you. Are you willing to the extent that God gives you grace to uphold the word of God, to faithfully abide by the constitution of Grace Lutheran Church, to serve rather than be served, and to labor for the purity, edification, peace, growth, and church of the Jesus Christ here at Grace Lutheran? If so, answer by saying yes.
Yes.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you all. Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for all of our board members and council members who have heeded your call from the church to serve. We pray your blessing upon them, and we pray your blessing upon this next year at Grace Lutheran. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Thank you. Thanks for standing up. All right, as we do each Sunday, let's just pause for a moment of silence as we transition into our worship service.
Itself well to the Lenten season. However, it pertains to our everyday life too. It's played a lot right now on Christian radio, and I think we can put the words up there. Do we have the words? There they are. So if you happen to know this, you're welcome to sing along.
Have you ever wondered what was on the mind of our Maker when He turned all our sorrows into fields of grace? Right here in the middle between earth and heaven, we're caught up between romance and the pain. Can't you see that? He must have known about our heartbreaks long before us. He must have known about our mistakes, but still He chose us. He planted the tree where He would die, put thorns down the vine, and then He wore them. And love is the blood red stain, the beauty that the pain exposes. Maybe that's why God made roses. God is in the whispers if you listen closely. Winter means that spring is just a breath away. So don't go any faster than this very moment. And sing some hallelujahs in the pouring rains. can't you see that he must have known about our heartbreaks long before us? He must have known about our mistakes, but still he chose us. He planted the tree where he would die, put thorns down the vine, and then he wore them. And love is the blood red stain, the beauty that the pain exposes. Maybe that's why God made roses. And just like petals falling to the ground, we fall into the one whose resurrection's here and now. All things made new, and just like petals falling to the ground, we fall into the one whose resurrection's here and now. All things made new. Can't you see that? He must have known about our heartbreaks long before us. He must have known all our mistakes, but still he chose us. He planted the tree where he would die, put thorns down the vine, and then he wore them. And love is the blood red stain, the beauty that the pain exposes. Maybe that's why God made roses.
Our call to worship this morning comes from the book of Psalm. It's Psalm 25, verses 4 through 8 and 10a. Make me to know your ways, O Lord. Teach me your paths.
Lead me in your truth and teach me.
For you are the God of my salvation.
For you I wait all the day long.
Remember your mercy, O Lord, and your steadfast love. Remember not the sins of my youth or my transgressions.
According to your steadfast love, remember me.
For the sake of your goodness, O Lord. Therefore, he instructs sinners in the way. All the paths of the Lord are steadfast love and faithfulness. Let us pray. Holy God, mighty and immortal, you are beyond our knowing, yet we see your glory and grace in the face of Jesus Christ. Transform our hearts in your love, revealed to us in Jesus Christ, your Son and our Lord. Amen. I'll ask any praise singers who wish to join me up front as we turn to the hymn titled, O God, Our Help in Ages Past. It's hymn number 320 in the green hymnal, or as seen on the screens.
Our help in ages past.
God, our help, O God, our hope, we connect with that help and that hope every Sunday when we do what we're going to do right now, and that is to stand before our God who helps us, who is our hope, and confess to him that we need what he has, and he has done it very graciously for us. So let's do this together. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hid, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name through Jesus Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God's promise to us sinners from the book of 1 John, chapter 1. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And let's take God at his word of promise right now together. Most merciful God, we confess that we are in bondage to sin and cannot free ourselves. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us. Forgive us, renew us, and lead us, so that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways to the glory of your holy name. Amen. It is my great joy and privilege to proclaim to you this morning that in the mercy of Almighty God, Jesus Christ was given to die for you. And for his sake, God forgives you all your sins. To those who believe in Jesus Christ, he gives the power to become the children of God and bestows on them the Holy Spirit. Join me in the confession of our Christian faith as we confess together the ancient summary of what Scripture teaches about the God we worship, the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord. He was conceived by the power of the Holy Spirit and born of the Virgin Mary. He suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you all.
And also with you.
And may God's peace rest over each and every one of you this morning.
The first reading today is from Genesis 22, 1 through 14. The near sacrifice of Isaac. After these things, God tested Abraham and said to him, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. He said, Take your son, your only son Isaac, whom you love, and go to the land of Moriah, and offer him there as a burnt offering on one of the mountains of which I shall tell you. So Abraham rose early in the morning, saddled his donkey, and took two of his young men with him, and his son Isaac. And he cut the wood for the burnt offering, and arose and went to the place of which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place from afar. Then Abraham said to his young men, Stay here with the donkey. I and the boy will go over there and worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it on Isaac his son. And he took in his hand the fire and the knife. So they went, both of them together. And Isaac said to his father, Abraham, My father. And he said, "Here I am, my son." He said, "Behold, the fire and the wood, but where is the lamp for the burnt offering?" Abraham said, "God will provide for himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son." So they went, both of them together. When they came to the place of which God had told him, Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar on top of the wood. Then Abraham reached out his hand and took the knife to slaughter his son. But the angel of the Lord called to him from heaven and said, "Abraham, Abraham." And he said, "Here I am." He said, "Do not lay your hand on the boy or do not anything to him. For now I know that you fear God, seeing you have not withheld your son, your only son, from me." And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in a thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. So Abraham called the name of that place, "The Lord will provide." As it is said to this day, "On the mount of the Lord it shall be provided." The second reading is from James 1, 13 through 18, Trials of Faith. Let no one say that he is tempted, when he is being tempted, "I am being tempted by God." For God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then the desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Do not be deceived, my beloved brothers. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there is no variation or shadow due to change. Of his own he will brought us forth by the word of truth, that we should be a kind and first fruits of his creatures. Prayers of the Church. We pray for compassion. God of compassion, be close to those who are ill, afraid, or in isolation. In their loneliness, be their consolation. In their anxiety, be their hope. In their darkness, be their light. Through him who suffered alone on the cross, but reigns with you in glory, Jesus Christ our Lord. Lord, in your mercy. We pray for the persecuted church. We ask your mercy, O Lord, for those who are falsely accused, wrongly imprisoned, and martyred for your name. May they gain release, be restored to life, and inspire us by their sacrifice. Lord, in your mercy.
Thank you, Dennis. Powerful narrative of the near sacrifice of Isaiah. And what a monumental thing it was doctrinally. We read, and behold, Abraham lifted up his eyes, and behind him was a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham took the ram, offered it up as a burnt offering instead of his son. My friends, that is the doctrine of substitutionary atonement right there. It will find its way into the Hebrew sacrificial system, and we trace it all the way to the cross of Jesus Christ, where he was offered up in our stead, instead of us. So we are thankful this Lenten season for what God has done for us. Well, we're going to hear a little bit more about this, of course, but before we get to the sermon time, let's stand up, stretch our legs. It is halftime, and maybe greet our neighbor while you're at it. Thank you. there's any kids out there that are willing to come up, I see Daisha's on her way with the fruit snack, so it won't be a total loss. Come on up. Here they come. All right. Good to see you all. So I want to thank you guys for coming to church today. Did you drive here? No? Nobody drove? You can't drive a car? You don't have a driver's license? No? No? How did you get here? Did you walk? You had parents drive you. So they did that for you, huh? Someday you'll get a driver's license. And then your parents will really start praying. Okay? Nothing quite like that feeling when your first one drives off in a car all by themselves. So.
Are you calling yourself a bad driver?
No, I'm not calling myself a bad driver at all. I'm a good driver. I've got a driver's license to prove it. So... But I want to talk about this, that you, of course, gave me funny looks when I asked if you drove here today, because you don't have a driver's license yet.
I do.
No, you don't. But, you know, you had no problem at all letting your mom and dad drive you here today, did you? Mm-hmm. Not at all. So.
My mom and dad didn't drive. My brother did.
Your brother drove. Okay, well, then your parents are praying parents now. Okay, so, but I want to talk about when people do things for us, specifically like when you drove here today. You didn't drive, your mom or dad or your brother drove you. And what we're going to do today is take a look at what Jesus has done for us, because we couldn't do it. Now, someday you'll all get a driver's license and you'll be driving yourself. But Jesus did something for us. Would you hold that up as high as you could, the cross? We could never do this. We couldn't die on the cross. But Jesus did it for us. And so today we celebrate what God has done for us in Jesus Christ. He died for our sins and he rose again. And we must never think that we can do this. We can somehow pay God for what he's done for us. We can't. We'll never be able to do that. But God gives us forgiveness and eternal life as a gift. And so this Lenten season, that's what Lent is all about. We journey to the cross and we realize that what God has done for us in Jesus is pretty amazing. So in the same way that you didn't have a problem letting your mom or dad or brother drive you here today, we shouldn't ever have a problem with letting Jesus save us, because we can't do that. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, this Lenten season, we realize that you are our champion. You are our victor. You are our companion. And we thank you for doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. And may we never lose sight of that great truth. Amen. All right. Thank you all for coming up. And you've got fruit snacks here. All right. Well, as we come before God's word this morning, let's pause for a word of prayer, shall we? Heavenly Father, your word is truth, your word is spirit. And open our hearts now to receive the good things that you have for us from your word. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. On this first Sunday in Lent, as we begin our journey to the cross and empty tomb of our Lord, we want to explore how our Lord, in the uniqueness of his person, this God-man person of his, connects with us and then delivers his gifts of forgiveness and resurrected life to us. And to do this, we need to look at a concept, the concept of champion. What does that word mean? So the word is used, if you look it up in a dictionary, it's used in two senses. The first sense is one that we automatically connect with because of our culture's infatuation with sports. And that is one that holds first place or wins first prize in a contest. And of course, we know the Kansas City Chiefs are champions, aren't they? They won the Super Bowl last Sunday. And we might use this use of champion like this. Pat, and notice I'm not saying whether that's a guy or a gal. Pat was the champion arm wrestler of Earhart, okay? Absolutely a champion. But this is not how we're going to look at the concept today. We're going to look at it in its second sense, and that is the one who fights for, defends, or, there's a typo there, or supports the cause of another person. And we might use this use like this. Mother Teresa was the champion for the poor. Okay? That was, you know, she gave her life to that. Or we might use it in this biblical sense. David fought against Goliath as the champion for the Israelite army. And we remember that story. It's one of the most famous Bible stories in Scripture where, you know, Goliath came out as the champion for the Philistine army and asked for one man, and these two combatants would then represent the armies that they fought for. And so I want to take a closer look at that super awesome narrative of David and Goliath. And it's one of the most well-known Bible stories from our childhood. It's one of the most iconic phrases that come out of this narrative. Remember what David told Goliath? You come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, for the battle is the Lord's. Okay, so let's dig down into that concept a little bit. The battle is the Lord's. So Goliath's challenge, choose a man for yourselves and let him come down to me that we may fight. David became a champion then for the Israelite army, when he said, let no one's heart fail on account of him, your servant will go and fight. And we know the story. Saul tried to put his armor on David and didn't fit. It was too big. And David just picked out five smooth stones. But the clarifying truth that comes out of this is when David said, you come to me with sword and spear, but I come to you in the name of the Lord, for the battle is the Lord's. And so we bring this idea of a champion fighting in the Lord's name for us to today's text. Mark chapter 1, verses 9 through 15. In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And when he came up out of the water, immediately he saw the heavens being torn open and the Spirit descending on him like a dove. And a voice came from heaven, you are my beloved Son, with you I am well pleased. The Spirit immediately drove him out into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness 40 days, being tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild animals, and the angels were ministering to him. Now after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel, the word of the Lord. Reaching back to the David and Goliath story and the idea of one man fighting in the stead of a whole army, serving as a champion, we find that this concept fits what Jesus did in the first stages of his public ministry. And of course, that's what his whole ministry will be about. But specifically, we see it here. And we're just going to use again the title, The Battle is the Lord's. Three events in this text: Jesus' baptism, his temptation, and then his proclamation. Together, these events tell one unified story. In the rapid movement of Mark's storyline, we see just Jesus identifying with us in his baptism as he stepped down into that baptismal water where people were confessing their sins. And he did this, Matthew tells us, to fulfill all righteousness. He needed to connect with us in this deep level to be our representative. As I tell my confirmation students, he put on the jersey of Team Humanity. He was now on the team. And then the Spirit drove him immediately into the wilderness where he did battle with Satan, and he defeated Satan as our champion. Paul talks about this. He talks about Jesus being the second Adam, the representative of humanity who this time stood up against the devil's temptations and defeated him. And then, of course, after this victory, as the king, he invites all into his kingdom. So all of these events are tied together. And let's just take a brief look at each one of these. First, the first movement in Jesus' ministry is to connect with and identify with the humans that he will champion. Okay, so let's take a look at Jesus as our champion. He's our representative, you might say. Like David, Jesus was our representative in combat, who went to battle for us. In his baptism, Jesus identified with our weaknesses in order to stand before our Goliath, sin and death, and to stand before Satan and hold up under all of those temptations. The next movement then flows directly out of this identification with us, where he becomes part of team humanity and then takes the field of battle for us to win the victory. So here we're going to look at Jesus as our victor, our victorious champion. Like David, Jesus defeated our enemy for us. In his temptation, Jesus stood firm against all the assaults of Satan. And Matthew, of course, in his account, gives us all of the various temptations, and Jesus held up under all of them. And he comes to our aid when Satan attacks us. We're reminded of 1 John chapter 4, verse 4. Little children, you are from God and have overcome them. For he who is in you is greater than he that is in the world. So Jesus has gifted us with his victory. The devil cannot make us do anything. That's a lie. Yes, we do succumb to temptation, but we have that beautiful promise. If we confess our sins, he does forgive us. And we know that in this, God was well pleased. We heard that at his baptism, where God spoke audibly and said, "This is my beloved Son. I'm well pleased with what he's doing." So this is all God-sanctioned, God-approved. Jesus isn't some kind of rogue agent that took this on. God sent him. And Jesus accepted that mission, and then the Holy Spirit gives us the faith to believe this. So now, as our victor over sin, death, and the devil, Jesus assumes the rightful place as our king. And of course, we know wherever the king is, there also is his kingdom. And he now proclaims that his kingdom is open. That's the next movement in this narrative. This king who comes preaching his gospel, his good news. So let's take a look at Jesus as our king. Like David, Jesus' victory founded a kingdom of peace for his people. And in his preaching, Jesus opened his kingdom for all who believe his message. And we know the narrative of Jesus in the gospels is that he was willing to befriend anybody. He kind of twisted the heads off of many of the religious establishment of the day by spending time with the worst kind of sinners, because he didn't practice purity through separation. He was willing to be with sinners, to eat with them, to give them his forgiveness. And this is the kind of king he is. I love that he has opened his kingdom for all. He came proclaiming his gospel, the good news, forgiveness as a gift, his companionship, the gift of eternal life. I love what he says in Matthew 11, "Come to me all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls." This is the proclamation of the king. Now, as a result of our Lord identifying with us, winning the victory for us, and opening his kingdom to us, may we adopt this phrase on our Lenten journey this year: the battle is the Lord's. May we confess that each day in our Lenten journey. This is the battle the Lord has won for me. The battle is the Lord's. Next slide, please. So what does this mean? When I feel like no one understands my personal struggles, my weaknesses, I remember that Jesus has identified with me. He understands me. He is worthy of my trust. He is my champion. For this battle and every battle I face is the Lord's. When I feel helpless before Satan's temptation and his condemnation of my failures, I remember that Jesus has defeated him and he's forgiven me completely. He's come to my aid in battle and he heals me when I am wounded, for the battle is the Lord's. When I feel alone and disconnected from others, I remember that Jesus has included me in his kingdom. Jesus is my brother, God is my father, and the Holy Spirit is my companion. I belong to him. I'm part of the family because the battle is the Lord's. Praise be to God. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, you alone are my champion. You set aside your heavenly glory to become my brother and identify yourself with me. You have proven yourself worthy of my trust by defeating Satan, living a perfectly righteous life, and taking my place on the cross. Nothing but you and you alone can free me from being thoroughly known without fear. For by your love and sacrifice for me, you have embraced me fully as your own, wanted, forgiven, restored, and cherished. I adore and praise you this day for being my Lenten Lord. What a merciful Savior you are. Lord, in your mercy, hear my prayer.
In his holy sight, he will hold me fast.
Let us pray. Lord God, we thank you for holding us fast. We pray your blessing upon those who celebrate birthdays this week. We pray that they may grasp on a deeper level how much you hold them and what you've done for them. Lord, each of us walk through this broken world. We encounter difficulties. We have hardships. We have trials. And in this moment of silence, we lift our hearts up to you. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We have an opportunity for a special prayer time. We have some missionaries amongst us today, Andrew and Meredith Runovic and their children, Hans and Alice, and they are departing tomorrow for New Guinea to serve the gospel there. And I want to just invite you and your family up here. And if you want to come up, we are going to lay hands on them and pray God's blessing on them as they take this step in their journey to minister to the gospel. So come on up, Andrew and Meredith, Hans and Alice. B, I'm sorry. Yeah, I'm sorry. All these Runovic children, I get them mixed up. So take center stage here and maybe come out about here. People, come on up if you want to just lay hands on them, and we're going to pray over them this time of prayer, and we want you to feel that our companionship and our love for you as you take this journey to serve the Lord and his gospel. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Andrew and Meredith and their children. We pray your blessing and protection over them as they take this step to serve the gospel. We thank you for the gospel, Lord. And we take it with you. We take it with us wherever we go. So, Lord, be with them. May they sense your presence throughout this journey.
Dear Lord, we pray for safe travels as they travel to their mission destination. We pray that they can settle in smoothly. We pray that they can make new friends. We pray for their health. We pray for the success of their mission. May you just bless this whole endeavor.
Lord, we ask that you would continue to bless these missionaries as they go, representing us, representing you, sharing the name of Jesus with people that have never heard it before. Lord, protect them. Help us to keep them in our prayers as we serve you as your servants.
Let us pray together the prayer that our Lord himself has taught us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses,
as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
God's peace as you take this step. God be with you. As we bring our service to a close this morning, you're invited to stand and let's sing together Jesus, Refuge of the Weary, verses 1 through 3, hymn number 93 in the Green Hymnal. Great Sunday. Thank you for sharing your Sunday morning with us. Receive the Lord's blessing. May the Lord bless you and may the Lord keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and to be gracious unto you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you his peace. In the name of the Father, in the name of the Son, and in the name of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Go in peace and serve our gracious Lord. Thanks be to God. Thank you.